today as we come to the table.
Guys, whatever we're doing, we need to be diligent about it. We've got one shot in this world. Let's give everything we can for the Lord. Now, I'm going to look at Paul's life here, really kind of summed up in this passage today. This kind of his whole life really covers the points we're going to make here, but we're going to see them all in this passage in three different things. Number one, Paul was diligent to go. Number two, Paul was diligent to do. And number three, Paul was diligent to listen, which I think probably is the most important. Matter of fact, is the most important of all three. And we'll get to that one last. First of all, diligence to go. Look at verse one again. Again, this is after the uproar that had happened there in Ephesus.
Pastor Mark is diving into the life of Paul today. He tells us that Paul did three things very well. First, he was diligent to go. Second, he was diligent to do. And third, he was diligent to listen. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When you take a look at your own life, have you gone when God says go? Have you done what God says to do? And have you listened for His voice along the way? Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Each of these things, going, doing, and listening, requires great faith. Take a page out of Paul's book today and listen for God's voice and commit to be diligent in whatever He tells you to do. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 20 as he begins his message, Diligent to Serve.
Why don't we do this? Let's get in the Word. You've got your Bibles. Let's open them up to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be covering verses 1 through 16, actually 2 through 16. We kind of went into 1 last time, but we're going to go ahead and read verse 1 there in chapter 20 and kind of get a run and go, lay a foundation, then we'll pray and ask God to bless our time together. Notice it says in chapter 20, verse 1, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. And he stayed 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy of Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. And these men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Let's pray. Father, as we get into your word this morning, I pray you would really just pierce our hearts about being diligent. When we look at Paul's life, he was a diligent man. Those that accompanied Paul were diligent men. Lord, the women of the early church were diligent women. And Lord, our desire is to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your word tells us that we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be doing what you've called us to do while we have the time to do it and while we're here. So as we look at Paul in his diligence today, I pray you would challenge each one of us in our diligence to serve you. Are we being diligent? Are we being focused? Or Lord, are we wasting time? And so I pray you would just now speak to us, God. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. Fill this place with your love and your spirit and your goodness. And Lord, feed your flock. In Jesus' name, amen. Diligence. I've entitled today, Diligent to Serve. Why? Because the Bible says that Paul was a diligent man, and the Bible calls us to be diligent when it comes to serving him. And when you look at Paul's life, you're going to see Paul was one of the most diligent people in serving the Lord you could ever know. Now, you can read church history and talk about some of the men and the women throughout church history that have been extremely diligent to serve the Lord. And I know that we all have different callings and we all have different giftings, but it's inspiring to read these stories. It's inspiring to me to read about Paul, and quite honestly, it's challenging because I look at Paul's life and say, Paul was a guy that was constantly thinking, how can I serve the Lord? How can I further the gospel? What can I do? And my mind isn't always that focused. So when I read these kind of passages, it gets me thinking, all right, where am I? I need to do self-inventory about my diligence for the Lord. And what I'm hoping the Holy Spirit does for us as a fellowship today is challenge us. Where are we in our diligence for the Lord? Now, I probably don't have to say this, but I'm going to because there are all different backgrounds here. I'm not talking about works for the Lord. It's not our works and our efforts to make God happy or to earn something. It is simply diligent to obey the call and be about our Father's business. Paul was diligent. He obeyed the call. He was about his Father's business, and he was never complacent. Now, it's interesting. In our nation today, we have a very affluent nation. We've had a nation at ease for the most part because we've had a nation that, yes, we had hard times at our beginning, but God blessed this nation, made us the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. We have been strong in the past financially, which is now being challenged. We've been strong in our military. And because of that, a very natural response is complacency. We tend to get lazy. As a nation, you can let your guard down. But we have to be careful as the church we don't do the same thing. We can't let our guard down. We are in this battle until the day we're in the kingdom with God. And you know what? Oftentimes, the closer you get to the end of the battle, the thicker the fighting can get before the victory. So it doesn't mean because we're getting older now we can retire from being a Christian. No, as a matter of fact, some of the greatest trials in life come the older we get. It wasn't until Abraham was much older and toward the end of his life that God said, now take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him for me. The greatest trial of Abraham's life came toward the end of his life. And this is a lesson we have to understand as believers. God will increase the trials as we grow older to prove us and to use us in greater ways. And we have to be very careful that we don't become complacent and lazy. Again, not exhausted, not working to the point where God is going to be some type of slave driver, but being diligent for the Lord. And that is something we especially have to be careful of when it comes to America. As long as there are still people to reach and people that are hurting and we're still alive, God has called us to be about our Father's business, even as Jesus said. You know, think about Jesus at 12 years old. They couldn't find him. Now, if I can't find my 12-year-old, there's probably going to be trouble, right? Not always, but there's a chance if we have a 12-year-old missing somewhere, there's going to be trouble. They're either lost or maybe they're into something they shouldn't be in. The old mall scenario. Jesus gets lost at 12 years old, but he wasn't lost. They were, actually. He knew exactly where he was and where they were. He's in the temple where he was supposed to be, doing what the Father asked him to do. And so they go and they find him. What does he say? They were upset with him. Hey, where were you? We were looking for you. Everyone was worried about you. Don't you understand? I must be about my Father's business. Guys, if he at 12 years old set that example for us, how much more do we need to be diligent? I read this week of a mountain climber who died trying to reach the summit. And when the search party found his body, they said he had collapsed with his face facing the peak. He didn't quite make it, but they found him dead looking toward the peak that he was trying to get to. And they said they finally reported back because of that. Here was their official report. He died climbing, so should we. What a beautiful picture of the believer that is. Guys, we're going to go someday. These bodies are going to stop. Let's die climbing. Amen? Let's be seeking the summit, always moving forward in the Lord until we get there. I read of another man that was diligent, but in a different way. This man was, again, a true story, charged with stealing a turkey at Thanksgiving time. And when he appeared in court, he told the judge that his action was an answer to prayer. And when the judge asked him to explain, the man said, well, Judge, you see, it was this way. The night before Thanksgiving, I didn't have a turkey. And I prayed to the Lord to send me one. Midnight came, still no turkey. So then I prayed to the Lord again. I said, Lord, send me after a turkey. And you know what? He did. Now, the judge didn't buy that, and I don't buy it either, but at least he was diligent. Guys, whatever we're doing, we need to be diligent about it. We've got one shot in this world. Let's give everything we can for the Lord. Now, I'm going to look at Paul's life here, really kind of summed up in this passage today. This kind of his whole life really covers the points we're going to make here, but we're going to see them all in this passage in three different things. Number one, Paul was diligent to go. Number two, Paul was diligent to do. And number three, Paul was diligent to listen, which I think probably is the most important. Matter of fact, is the most important of all three, and we'll get to that one last. First of all, diligence to go. Look at verse 1 again. Again, this is after the uproar that had happened there in Ephesus when they had the whole scene, if you've been with us, in the Temple of Diana, and all the people upset with Paul because they weren't selling as many idols, and there was this big riot, so to speak. And it says, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. And when he'd gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. And he stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. They no doubt heard Paul's going to be on this boat. We're going to get him on the boat and throw him overboard. So Paul got word of it. Paul said, look, I'm not going to take that boat. I'm going to go a different way. Let them go on. And so Paul, God spares his life there. The Jews were always out to get him as well as other people. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius and Derbe and Timothy of Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in the 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Now, again, why is this first section called Diligence to Go? Think about Paul's journey just then. Think about the journey Paul just went on. Listen, this is all by foot. Paul's not jumping in a vehicle and running to the airport and getting on a plane and flying to Greece and flying to Troas and driving up, you know, whatever the thing might be. Paul is out there answering the call of God and doing it on foot. How many of us will make excuses because things are too hard when it comes to serving the Lord and maybe doing something he's asked us to do? When you look at Paul's life, it takes all of our excuses away. This guy was diligent. He served the Lord round the clock, and he did it even at his own physical expense without all the comforts and the abilities that we have today. So Paul was diligent to go, and that's our first challenge. Are we diligent to go? And that is, when I say go, it doesn't necessarily mean Knoxville. Somebody's got to be here to reach the people of Knoxville, right? What I mean by that is to go in the Lord. Go for it. What has God called you to do? Do it, and do it with gusto. And so we see that Paul was a goer, but now we're going to see here in the second section that Paul was also a doer. Again, you have to be a doer to be a goer as well. The two have to go hand in hand. And again, this is where we take up in verse 7. Notice this. Next, he was called to do. Look at verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, again, some of you might think I'm long-winded from time to time, but I don't think I've ever continued on the Sunday morning service until midnight. This was a long service. And again, look at Paul's diligence to do. And not just Paul's diligence to do. I'm not saying we should have services that go until midnight. That's not my point. I'm saying look at Paul's diligence to teach the word of God to the people of God, even to the point of exhaustion and even way past what would be even halfway accepted here in America. And what is also interesting to me is not just the diligence of Paul to feed them and teach them the word, not knowing when he would see them again, but the diligence of the people to listen. Can you imagine if I said, okay, today, surprise, we're here, but it's going to be a 3-hour service. You know, I'd be like, well, you might be here 3 hours, but I'm out of here, right, for lunch, right? Because that's the American mindset. But guys, how diligent are we to hear the word of God? Are we more concerned about when the service is over or what is God saying to me this morning? This is not to beat us up, it's to wake us up. As you know, Milad and Trace were in Egypt and they were at a service there in Egypt. They told me about right before they came to America. They had a 12-hour worship service where they stood the entire time. I'm not suggesting that. I don't know that Americans can handle that right now. What I'm saying is, what is our mindset? Is our focus, how long is this? When is this done? Or how do I find the Lord? How do I draw in close to him? How do I spend time with him? You know, it's interesting. We're going to see that Paul goes so long here in just a moment that this guy, you know, we're going to see ends up falling out of the window here and dying. And you can say, there's one thing, I've never taught so long, I've killed some of you. You may have felt like you were dying, but I've never killed you. I heard a story about a guy that walked into a church and in the foyer they had all these pictures all over the walls of a bunch of people. And the guy visiting said to the pastor, said, who are these pictures of? He said, well, these are pictures of people that died in the service. He said, really? First or second? Because a lot of people feel that way when it comes to church. Guys, the bottom line is, where's our heart this morning? Did you come hungry? Are you wanting to hear God's voice? Here's the thing. It doesn't matter how good or bad a teacher I might be. If you've come to hear God, he's talking to you right now. And if you've come to hear the Lord, he's speaking to you. Why? Because we're reading his word. This is how he talks to us. What is our diligence to get into the word? What is our diligence to share the word? Paul was diligent. Paul was always on the go. And so he's giving them the word. Now, there's something else to notice here. Notice it says, when they gathered together on the first day of the week. I want you to note that. Why? I don't want to make a big deal of it, but I want to say that as we pass these portions in Scripture, because this is not the only place it talks about it. As a matter of fact, secular history says that the early church worshiped on the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. And why did the early church worship on the first day of the week as a congregation? Because that was the day the Lord resurrected. And so because the Lord resurrected on Sunday, the church began to worship on Sunday. And we see the indications from the very beginning of the early church all the way through church history, the church worshiping on Sunday morning. And I only say that because you're going to run into those who are going to say, well, you're in sin if you're worshiping on Sunday morning. We're supposed to be doing Saturday morning on the Sabbath. And if you do a Sunday morning, then you're somehow in sin. Well, not according to the scripture. Because Paul said every day is a day to worship the Lord. He said, let every man be convinced in his own mind. He said, I see every day alike. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to limit worship to the Lord on Sunday. I'd like to be able to sing a praise song on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'd like to be able to get in the Word on Saturday. I'd like to do seeking the Lord throughout the week. So don't ever let anyone lay a trip on you. As a matter of fact, Paul said, don't let anyone do that. And when Paul was writing the church in Corinth, he said this, again, showing they were worshiping on Sunday. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia. So not just you guys in Corinth, but in Galatia. So you must do also. Note this, on the first day of the week, i.e. Sunday, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that is, get ready for the offering, that there be no collections when I come. He didn't want to take a collection for the poor church in Jerusalem when he got there. He wanted them to be ready so it wouldn't look as though he was having to put that effort forth or just coming for their money, because Paul wasn't. He wanted to minister to the church in Jerusalem. He said, when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear the gift to Jerusalem. So worshiping on Sunday, that's how the early church did it. It would appear from scripture and secular history. Now notice this, as they're having their service, their group service on Sunday, look at verse 8, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. Now this is a clue. Why did he say many lamps? Because they're about to see this Eutychus fall asleep and get killed during the service, as we said. That's a pretty major incident to take place during church. And I think the reason the Holy Spirit put many lamps here is probably because there was a lack of oxygen in the air from all these oil lamps burning, maybe even some gases that were being released from these oil lamps. And Eutychus is sitting up here in the window. Look at verse 9. And in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus who was sinking into a deep sleep. And he was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Now, if you guys fall asleep during this service, you got a lot shorter way to drop. Now, we would probably all notice it. That would be quite obvious. But you probably wouldn't be dead. Can you imagine at church someone suddenly dying during the service? That would be pretty traumatic, wouldn't it? No doubt they were shocked and overwhelmed. But I would say this. If you're going to die at church, do it while Paul the Apostle's there. How about that? Because now we're going to see that God, again, using Paul in this in his gift of miracles, is going to heal him and see him raised from the dead as he goes and he falls on him this. And again, just an amazing story here. So Eutychus falls out the window. He dies. But when Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, no doubt praying for him and crying out to God for God to resurrect him, he said to them, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. So God is resurrecting him. He's going to be alive. And no doubt they went from, as we said, from shock to rejoicing. It is interesting to me, Eutychus' name literally means fortunate. And I would say, it's service with Paul. When you fall out the third story window and die, you're fortunate Paul's there. So Eutychus lived up to his name. And when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten. Now notice Paul's diligence here in doing the work. He talked a long while. Paul kept going. You know, you would think, hey, somebody died, right? Maybe we should just kind of call this thing off. It's been a long night. We've gone till midnight. We already had a death, you know, resurrection. It's been a busy service. So why don't we go on home, get a good night's sleep. Notice what it says about Paul. It says, and Paul continued. He talked for a long while, into verse 11, even till daybreak. And he departed. Paul brought the sun up teaching the word. Again, I'm not suggesting that we should do that. I know this was a rare case where Paul may not ever see them again. But what amazes me is Paul's diligence to go and Paul's diligence to do and the diligence of the people to hear and be a part of it. Guys, how we need to have those hearts in America today. We need to have a fire and a burn to be diligent for the things of the Lord and to be into the things of the Lord and be into his word and into worship and into prayer. And if we're not, let's be honest about it. Let's not pretend that we are. Go to the Lord and tell him, God, I'm not into your word like I need to be. And I don't really want to read it like I should want to. Just be honest. He knows that. Oh, I can't admit that to God, that I really don't want to read his word anymore. I can't tell him that like he doesn't know. He knows. I can't tell him I don't really want to worship, you know, that much more because, you know, I'm not really that much of a... He knows. But the Bible says we need to be growing in worship and growing in feeding on God's word and growing as believers. Go to him and be honest that, God, here I am and you see me. I do not crave your word like I should. I do not crave worship like I should. I'm not where I need to be. So you know the truth. Here it is. Let's just talk it out. Change me. Give me a hunger for your word. Give me a hunger for worship. Make me a diligent believer. I want to do, I've only got this many days. You know how many days I have left. I don't know how many they are, but I know I've only got so many. God, let me use them wisely. And so, again, the challenge here, just watching Paul and his commitment. Now look at verse 12. They brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. That's the Bible's way of saying they were like, really, it was awesome. Notice this. Now we come to the last thing. Lastly, we come to Paul's diligence to listen. And guys, note this. I believe this is the most important of the three. And why do I say that? Because if you answer the call to go, great. If you answer the call to do, great. But if you don't hear what God wants you to do, you're wasting your time. I think there's going to be a lot of believers in heaven that have done what they wanted to do for the Lord rather than what God wanted them to do for the Lord, and there's not going to be reward for it. Oh, they're saved. They're in the kingdom. God says, I didn't call you to teach. I called you to do this. I didn't call you to go into mission field. I called you to do this. I didn't call you to, I called you to do this. Well, Mark, how do we know? Listen, you seek the Lord. He will give you joy in your heart for what it is he's called you to do, and then do it with all your heart. That's how you'll know. But if you're in somewhere where you go, this is what I want to do, but I haven't really heard God call me to do it, then seek the Lord and say, God, what is it you want me to do? I think one of the dangers of young pastors, and you know, I remember being young when I first felt the call into the ministry, I kind of had some of these thoughts as well. But I think the danger of a young pastor is, I'm going to go to that town, and here's what I'm going to do. Okay, great. Why don't you, now once that's all out of you, now seek the Lord and find out what he wants to do. He already has a plan for Knoxville. He doesn't need you, Mark, to figure one out. Just go and find out what he's doing. Get in line with it. Do what he's called you to do in the midst of it and enjoy the ride. It's a lot like going down the river. And if you go to the river and say, you know what, I see the river, and I think I'm going to take it that way. Well, if the water's running this way, you're going to have a really rough time. But if you just get in the boat and let the water take you and kind of just steer it and guide it, following where the force of the water is leading, a lot sweeter ride, a lot easier ride, and you'll reach your destination, not only not exhausted, but in the time you're supposed to reach it. Guys, the same thing is true when it comes to following the Lord. He told Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads, Paul. The goads are what they hit the animals with to get them to move forward. He said, you're kicking against me. Just give in, find my will for your life, and go with it. And now Paul's doing that, and he's doing it actually in a very diligent way, absolutely. Because again, this was the kind of person Paul was, and it's an encouragement to us. So now we come to, again, diligence in listening. Look at verse 13. It says, then we went ahead to the ship, and we sailed to Assos, and intending to take Paul on board, note this, I have this underlined, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we met him on board, and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trigilium. The next day, we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now, why wanting to be there on the day of Pentecost? I don't think so much wanting to keep the feast in Jerusalem, which could have been a possibility with his Jewish culture and background, as much as he knew this is when all the Jews would be gathering.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.